Good morning. How are you? Are you doing well? I didn't hear you. Are you doing well? Marvelous. It is such a privilege and pleasure for me to be here this morning. I bring you greetings from my family, Naomi, Amy Joy, and Grace. They know we're here. They've just finished their service in India, and they had a great time, and they send you their love and greetings. You know, it's always such a... I look forward to coming to spend time with your amazing, awesome, finest in the world. You know who I'm talking about. Your pastors, that's right. Come on, give them a big God bless you. You are blessed with an amazing couple and family that have, you know, sown faithfully, consistently through the years. And as a result of that, God has seen their faithfulness. God has seen their commitment. And God has seen the sacrifice that they have made. And He is rewarding that for His kingdom. Amen. We are about establishing the kingdom of God. Our whole life as believers is not just about living in this world. How long do you live in this world? 70, 80? If you've got good health, 90? If you're really kicking it, maybe 100? But that's it. And when that's gone, you transition into eternity. Isn't it? And none of us really think about life like that. But what we do here matters. What you do now impacts the rest of your life for eternity. And so God has blessed you with an amazing couple, leaders that love you, care for you. And, you know, we have known Darius and Vilma right from the days when they were, when I was so slim. And back in Bible school at IBIOL, we were in school together, learning together, growing together. And it's just so great to see how God is using you guys. And it thrills me. Wherever I go, I talk about you and the amazing work that God has done in and through you and the amazing team that you have here at the Lithuanian Church here. It's amazing, isn't it? Amen. Yeah? And so God bless you. If you're here this morning and looking for a church, you've come to the right place. Don't go anywhere else. Stay right here and settle in, which is good. Well, you know, God is doing some amazing things in our lives. And like I said, our life is transient. We don't spend our entire of our lives here. We just spend the temporal portion of our life here, which is anything, as I said earlier on, possibly 70 to 80 years or more. But the rest of our life is spent in eternity. It's something we don't think about. It's something that isn't the foremost of our memories. But if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew. And we're going to read from the book of Matthew. And it's Matthew chapter 6. And I'm reading from verse 31. So it says, "So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagan runs after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first," everybody say, "but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. That's true. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will give you everything that you need." You know, we focus on, wow, God is going to give us everything that we need. And you know, God desires and wants us to have everything that we need. But this promise is conditional. It is based on the condition that you seek God first, that you seek His righteousness, and then the things that the whole world is living for, working hard for, striving for, putting extra hours in for, not taking holidays because they want more or need more to feel secure. Jesus says that when you seek my kingdom. And when you live righteously, seek righteous living, all these things that you need will be given to you. Isn't that amazing? But how do we as believers move from just knowing this to living it? How do we move from people, followers of Jesus Christ, from just following and knowing this to actually allowing this to be this discipline and this discipling happen in our lives where it becomes real? Now, one of the things I want you to understand that, you know, the kingdom of God is a supernatural rule over the hearts of those who willingly submit to God's authority. And so what does it mean to seek God? It's not just a matter of inquiring. It's not just a matter of wanting to find out. But to seek is to look for, to discover, and then to find. Amen? How many of you do Google searches? You know, sometimes you're bored, you're sitting in front of the computer, you just, what will I search for today? Oh yeah, let's see what Megan's up to. Or let's see what's happening here. What's the news? We kind of just search aimlessly. And that's not the seeking the Bible is talking about. But the Bible is talking about a focused, intentional, committed seeking that leads you to what you need to find. Amen? So it's not about digging around hoping to find. It says when you seek God, what does he say? You will find him. And so when God is talking about the kingdom, when Jesus is talking about establishing his kingdom in our lives, what he is letting us know that this kingdom is not about the temporal things of this world, but this kingdom is a spiritual rule. Where? In the hearts of man. Amen. God wants to establish his rule and his kingdom in your life. But it's not just about seeking the kingdom. It is also about seeking righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be rightly positioned with an authority of government. For example, when you see a red light, what do you typically do? You stop. That's righteous living. Now, where I come from, I believe the entire nation is colorblind. Because when they see a red light, it is an opportunity to see if they can cross it and not get run over while doing that. Now, that is not righteous living. That is breaking the law. So to live righteously in this world means we are under the authority and the governance of this world. But what does it mean to live righteously in the kingdom of God? It means that we are under the governance and the rule and the authority of God in and over our lives. And so we don't live by how this world is governed. In fact, Jesus sets a higher standard and he says, live by the standards of the kingdom. And so for you and me that have a relationship with Jesus, we live in this world, but we are not of it. Can you say that to your neighbor? You are in this world, but you are not of it. In other words, you've got to live in this fallen, broken world. But we live as children of the King. We live as people of the kingdom. Come on. You're not just any ordinary Lithuanian living in London. You're not just ordinary human being. You are a child of the King. You have been born again, purchased by the blood of Jesus, redeemed and sanctified, living in this world only for a few years. Not for eternity, thankfully. Only for a few years. And then you will transition to and inherit the kingdom in eternity. So righteous living, righteousness is what Jesus gives to us. But we must now choose to live righteously. And so if we're going to seek the kingdom of God, Jesus says, seek also to live righteously. Be intentional about how you live. Be intentional about living under the authority, the rule, and the governance of the kingdom of Jesus. Amen. You know, we are saved by grace, but we are covered in His righteousness. And some of us just go out there and live recklessly. That is not the kind of living that Jesus is calling us to. He wants us to enjoy life, to live life to the full, but to live it under the authority and the rule of God in our lives. The supremacy of Christ must supersede everything in our lives. Jesus must be supreme in your life in every way. He has got to be your numero uno, your number one. He should not, nothing else should take precedence over your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, when we become believers, we transition out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We have moved from a place of struggling and strife and death and hell to a place of hope and certainty and freedom. And when we do that, we need to understand that God empowers us. He gives us authority. He gives us everything we need to live that life well. But He also gives you the ability to make choices. And so it is up to you and me to choose to seek His kingdom. It is up to you and me to choose to live righteously. And when we do, God says, everything will be given to you. Amen. It's an upside down principle. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say if you just sit back, you'll be blessed. But it says if I honor God with my life, if Christ is supreme in everything I do, if nothing else competes with my relationship with Jesus, then I'm living my life well. And let's be fair, Jesus is not an extra add-on. I have a subscription with EE for my mobile phone, and you have the base plan. And then if I want to top it up, I can add on, you know, data, 30 GB, 5 GB, 2 GB, whatever. You know, Christ is not an add-on to our life. He's not a nice extra that we have. He's not some sort of accessory that we add to our life. Oh, I'm going to church today. I'm going to put on Christ this morning. I'm going to church. I'm going to be really less like Jesus. And the rest of the week, I'm just like, good old me. Jesus transforms our lives. All of us are work in progress. None of us are perfect. You know, God is still working in all of our lives, but we are aiming and seeking to live righteously. The kingdom of God has several aspects. The Lord is the sovereign ruler of the entire universe. But that same God who created this world, that same God who flung the stars into space, the same God that created this universe and the galaxies, lives in you. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought of that? By His Spirit, the Bible says, God chooses to dwell within the hearts of man. Wow. That is mind-blowing. Come on. It's hard for us to understand in our fallen human brain just how awesome that is. It's just sometimes hard to comprehend, but I want you to understand that we are not just human beings, but Jesus' Spirit dwells within us. And that power is at work within us to enable us to find Him and to discover Him. And so the kingdom of God involves repentance, new birth. And as God rules in the heart of His children in this world, it is in preparation for us into the next world, the world where we will live for in eternity. So we need to position ourselves right in this world. We need to live right. And I want to show you four things that you need to understand about the kingdom of God. That makes it very real, that makes it very practical, that makes it in a way by it's not just words on some picture in your home or in your Bible, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness and everything will be added unto you. Yay! But it is real and it is working in your life. Would you like to know what those principles are? Simple things to understand. Number one, the kingdom is relational. Can you say that? The kingdom is relational. God establishes His kingdom in you by His relationship with you. That's amazing. The King wants to have a relationship with you.
That's amazing.
You know, we live in a world that is democratic, and so we lose sight of what it means to have a king. Because, you know, everyone needs to have their say and everybody needs to be heard, and let's everybody vote on whether we should do this or that. But with Jesus, he is a good king. He's a king who works and partners with us and develops a relationship with us and wants to relate with us. How many of you have met the Queen of England? You have. Amazing. Amongst about 300-400 of us, just two of you have. The rest of us, we're just like, yeah, she's our queen. She's everywhere on every note, every stamp you see her picture. But do you know her? Does she know who you are? Would she come up to me and say, hello, Ian, it is such a pleasure to see you. Yes, Your Majesty, it is such a pleasure to see you too. I so enjoyed that breakfast we had yesterday. No way, she doesn't know who I am. And I just about know her, other than what the newspaper tells me about her. But Jesus develops relationship. He knows you. It's an intimate, close relationship. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your joys, your strengths. He knows all about you. And he's there with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will always be with you. What an amazing kingdom to be part of. Jesus will never let you down. And so when you acknowledge the lordship of Christ, and when you gladly surrender to God's rule in your hearts, you become part of the kingdom of God. This kingdom that we are participants in is not something that you're forced into. You choose to become part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, as I said earlier on, is heaven in the hearts of man. But you say to me, Ian, you don't understand. That sounds good, but I'm going through hell. Where is heaven in my life? Which is why the Bible says, seek. In the midst of your hell, seek for the kingdom of God. And when you seek intentionally, the Bible says, you will find him. Amen. Just like when you need to repair something in your home, and you go to IKEA and you think, we need to replace this piece of old furniture. I mean, you look through, don't you? You walk down all the aisles of IKEA till you find that piece of furniture that's going to fit in that corner perfectly. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You'll walk around IKEA all day, but you want to find that piece of furniture. Come on. God wants us to have a much greater passion to seek after him. That's temporal. That piece of furniture is going to be gone in a few years' time. But your relationship with God is eternal. Amen? It is eternal. It is personal. It's intimate. It's much more than just living for the day. The second thing about the kingdom is that the kingdom is eternal. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is eternal. Which is why Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world. When Jesus said those words, where was he? He was in this world. But he said, my kingdom is not what you see around you. Because my kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It is an unseen kingdom that is established on this earth through the hearts of man. Do you understand that? Amen? God partnering with you out of relationship to establish his eternal kingdom here. Our life here on earth is just a passing through into eternity. How you live your life on earth, the decisions, the attitudes with which you live your life here, impact and influence your time in eternity. Do you understand that? Every moment of your day, every hour, every decision, every heartache, every challenge that you face and how you respond to each of those things, don't respond to them as though it's in the world of the temporal. We are in here. We are here in the moment, but we are living for the future. Amen. And we lose perspective because we are so engulfed with living for the moment. And you know what? There's momentary pleasure. There's momentary gain. But we've got to look for eternal. We need to have eyes that see into eternity and connect with eternity in the decisions that we make today. And so I want to encourage you with every decision that you make, every relationship that you establish, how you spend your time, everything, do it with the perspective of eternity. What impact will my decision have with eternity? What I do today, how will it impact the rest of my life in eternity? So many people, Jesus tells the story of these people who said, but Lord, we did this for you, we did that for you. And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, it's not just about doing good. It's about knowing God. And those people that don't know God and think they can do good to get points with God, Jesus says, hello, who are you? I don't recognize you. But when we know God, when we seek God, when we seek His kingdom and His righteousness, God recognizes you. Amen. Jesus' kingdom is about the rule and the governance of God established in the hearts and minds of men and women who are completely sold out for Him. I mean, how many of you, if Jesus was to turn up today and say to you, I'd like you to give away your car, sell your home, and go where I tell you. How many of you would be prepared to do that? Lord, I've just refurbished my home. It's just as I like it. It's looking so nice. Give me one more year. Just one more year, and then come back to me in 1 year. Is that all right? I mean, we've just had our first baby, and you know what? The benefits here are so good. I don't want to go to some other place. Can we just? When Jesus calls you, when Jesus asks you, He's your King. We're serving the King of this world. What a privilege it is that He would choose me. You know, God has chosen every one of you to live your lives with purpose. There's a destiny for each one of you. You're not just living your life to pay the bills, the electricity bill, the telephone bill, the internet bill. You're not living your life for that. Get a reality check. Turn around to your neighbor and say, I'm not living to pay my bills. Well, you don't quite believe it yet. You're not living to pay your bills. You're living for eternity. And yes, you've got some bills to pay. When you do, God will take care of that. Amen. Jesus says He'll take care of that. So how you spend your time is a good indication of the focus of your heart. How you spend your money is a good indication of the priorities of your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, it says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Can you begin to just view your life with the perspective of eternity? Can you begin to say, God, my relationship with you is much more than just food, shelter, clothing, having a good time here on earth. You want me to have all of that, but I need to see it through the perspective of eternity, the unseen world that we live in, the unseen world that influences our life and that empowers us, enables us to live our life here on this earth. What thoughts occupy your mind? I don't know how many of you are really focused on what I'm saying. Your thoughts are probably wondering, oh, did I put the oven off? Have I done the shopping? Oh gosh, my to-do list. Your mind wanders because there's so many things that are competing for the supremacy of Jesus in your life. But when we are truly committed to Jesus, He is foremost in your thoughts all the time. Amen. He is always on the forefront of every decision and thought that you have. We need to live our lives with that kind of urgency, with those kind of priorities. Because when we do, we are allowing God to establish His kingdom every day, every moment in our lives. And when He establishes His kingdom, He establishes His rule, His authority, and we are able to live and experience the blessing of that. Don't tell me you love Jesus, but you're not prepared to give time to the things that matter to God. Don't come and say, Pastor, I really love Jesus. I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love. Yesterday, I was just so in love with Jesus. Could you help us to reach out to this sick person that needs somebody to pray for them? Pastor, I'd love to, Pastor, but I need to go home and pray. I need to pray about it. I need to seek God's will if it is right for me to do it. Come on. Don't tell me you love Jesus and the opportunity you get to serve, to be Jesus to somebody, you need to think twice. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Don't tell me you love Jesus and you're not prepared to give your time to the things that matter to God. Don't tell me you love God, but you're not prepared to give to the things that matter to God. God, I'll give you my time, but not my money. God, I'll give you my intellect, but I won't let go of my bank account. You see, it's not that God wants your money, and we're going to discover this in a bit. It's to do with the attitude of the heart. Who really rules in your life? We need to unpack this a little bit. If you want to see financial blessing in your life, give to God. Be a good steward of everything that He has given you. Your time, your talent, your treasure. Steward it well. Because when you do, God will give you more. Amen. God will honor you when you are faithful in every way. Give to His church, give to His people, give to needs, and be generous in every way, because when you live like that, you are living like a child of the King. Because that is what the kingdom of God is about. The third thing that the kingdom is it is radical. Everybody say, the kingdom is radical. There's a story of the rich young ruler. And it says here that as he went out onto the street, a man came running up, greeted him with great reverence and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? You know the commandments, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother." And this young man said to him, "Jesus, I've kept all of these. I know these commandments." And then Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus looked him hard in the eye. In other words, He got him to really listen to what he was about to say. He got his attention. He said to him, "There's one thing that's left, son. There's one thing. Go sell whatever you have, whatever you own, and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. Come follow me." Was Jesus being mean? Was he being mean-spirited? No. Jesus was really checking the man's attitude. He talked about all the things that he had done. But really, it's not about just doing those things. It's about who rules in your heart. Jesus was getting to the heart of the issue in this man's life. He had done a lot of good. He kept the law. But there was something that was more important to him than God. And that was his wealth. And Jesus compares his wealth to eternal wealth. And this is something that this young man did not understand, because his focus was still on what he owned. And here's what I want you to understand. What you own is temporal. Do you understand that? It's temporal. It will not last forever. You cannot take it to the grave. In fact, usually our caskets are not big enough to take all the things we spent all of our life living for. I mean, how many of you can fit your car with you when you get buried? Years ago, I had the privilege of burying one of my uncles who lived a very, very simple life. He lived on his own in a home in India, and I happened to be there. The rest of the family was in different parts of the world. And my wife and I, we went, we made sure that he was given a good burial. And then I had the responsibility of coming back to his home to gather all the things that he had. And I remember this moment, and this became so real to me. When I went to his cupboard, there was some old books. There was about 50 pounds, the equivalent of that in rupees, an old TV, a radio. And that was the sum total of what his life was when he died. And that 50 pounds was just enough to cover the last bit of expenses that he owed, and he was already dead. And I looked and I thought, my God, this uncle of mine who had lived his life so well, he was one of the most generous folk on this earth, always helped everybody in the family. But when he died, there was nothing. There was nothing that was left of his life other than these few items. And it brought home to me the importance for us to understand eternity. Come on, most of us just live now. And I want you to see how God wants you to see and look with eyes of eternity. And this young man, he was living for the now. He was not prepared to give up what really owned him. God was not his ruler. Wealth was. Who rules in your heart? Yes, I come to church every Sunday. Yes, I sing the songs that come up. Yes, I serve faithfully. Yes, I do all those things. But what if Jesus was to ask you that one question? There's just one thing that I want you to do. Will you do this? What will your response be? That will be a true indication of who is the ruler of your heart. For this young man, God was not the most important thing in his life. He didn't understand that if he only let go of his temporal wealth, that he would have gained an eternal inheritance. Do you understand that? If you let go of the temporary, you gain an eternal inheritance. And so we have to live our lives with that. And for this man to follow Jesus, the man couldn't handle it. This was the last thing he expected to hear. And he walked off with a heavy heart. In other words, he was disappointed that Jesus was asking him to live life with the perspective of eternity, because he was looking for temporal gain. But seek first his kingdom, eternity, and his righteousness, eternity. And all these temporal things will be added unto you. Amen. I wonder what would have happened had this young man said to Jesus, "Jesus, you want all my wealth? Take it. It's yours." I wonder what his story would have been. Perhaps he'd have been more wealthy than he ever thought he could have been. Perhaps he'd have had more influence than he had ever thought he could have with his own ability of creating wealth. Perhaps he would have inherited something far greater than just what he had possessed and owned him. And you know what? Whatever owns you is what rules you. Hello? Whatever owns you is what rules you. There is this aspect of the rich ruler that we all must deal with in our lives. Whatever you hold on to is what will rule you. Say this to your neighbor, whatever I hold on to is what will rule me. I want to invite someone up just to help me with a very simple illustration. You know, many of us in life hold on to things, and maybe right now you're thinking, Ian, I know this. I've got this covered, you know. I'm fully committed to Jesus. I mean, my life's really all sorted out. Well, it's always good to reassess our lives and check. Are we really, truly sold out and living radically for Jesus? Who's the young man who's coming to help me? You're coming up, come on up. What's your name, my friend? Sorry? All right, whatever it is, it's a nice name. All right, good. Biden. All right, so Biden. Biden. Like Vladimir Putin, Biden. Yeah, okay, I got it right. Sorry for the Russian connection there, but never mind. Do you know, many of us go through life and things happen to us, right? And imagine this is Vadim's, the throne of his life. And he's here. And Vadim loves Jesus. And, you know, he gave his life to Jesus when he was 12 years old. And he's born again, spirit-filled, reads his Bible, been on the Alpha course, been on the leadership training school, and everything. He's all sorted out. But things happen to us in life, right? Things that are not really nice impact our lives. And what if at some point, some poor girlfriend jilted him? He was hoping to marry her. And he suddenly is faced with having to carry the emotion of rejection. And he's carrying that rejection. And, you know, he loves Jesus. Do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, this rejection and hurt and pain is in his life. And he's holding on to it. And then, you know, he falls in love with another young girl. And she, not that there's anything wrong with you. It's the girls, all right? She betrays him. You know? She betrays, said, Vladimir, I'm sorry. I can't come. I can't follow through with you. And then at work, somebody, you know, really gets difficult with him and, you know, tries to, you know, cut him up at work. And he's doing so well at work. And they completely marginalize any chance of him ever getting a promotion in that job. And so Vadim begins to feel hatred towards this guy. You cut me up. I mean, we were good friends and I was helping you. And when the chance came for you to help me, you just undercut me. You little cheat. And Vadim's there dealing with rejection from his two previous relationships. Not that you're the problem, okay? Yeah, it's just what happens to us in life. And, you know, all of these things lead to pain in our lives, right? Can you see how Vadim's life all of a sudden is consumed with rejection, betrayal, hatred, pain? And all of these things impact our lives, right? And they begin to hurt, don't they? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. They begin to hurt, and Vladimir's living his life. He's in church like, yeah, Jesus, I love you, but I'm carrying these things in my heart. You know, Jesus, I really want to live for you. I want to seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness. But he's carrying these things in his spirit. And all this leads to a life of difficulty, and there's unforgiveness that Vladimir is carrying. How does it feel carrying all these things?
It feels heavy.
It's heavy. It's heavy. You know, but isn't Jesus the ruler of your heart?
Yeah, Jesus rules my heart, yeah.
Yeah, but you get angry?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you hate some people? Yeah, because they cut you off.
You know, that first girl.
You're only pretending. The first girl, right. Tell me about it. No, it's okay. All right, so there are all these things that have happened to Vladimir's life. Now, Jesus may be the ruler of his heart, but what's owning him? What's governing his life? What is dominant in his life is what he is holding on to. And as long as Vladim is holding on to these things, Jesus cannot be predominant in his life. Do you get what I'm saying? For that rich young ruler, God was checking his heart out and said, will you give up your wealth? Maybe for you it's not about wealth. Maybe you've completely written your bank account over to Jesus. But there may be other things that you hold on to. And Jesus might be saying, are you prepared to give up that hurt that you own? That hurt that rules and governs your emotions and how you behave. And, you know, things happen to us. We fall out with people, with family, with horrible things happen to really good people. And Jesus says, if you just allow me, seek me first. Seek my righteousness first. And you know what? Let go of all this. Let go of it. Because I can take care of it if you make me preeminent in your life. Amen? All of a sudden, those things that were a burden to Vladim are now because he's let go of them. And I want to speak to many of you here this morning. You know, as you live and want to live a kingdom life, you cannot hang on to the pain, the hurt, the disappointment, the hatred, the betrayal, and the things that are perhaps not listed here. And still expect to say, Jesus is the ruler of my heart. Because when you hold on to that mess, your life is messed up. But when you allow Jesus to heal you, when you hand over this pain and this hurt and this unforgiveness and betrayal to Jesus, he becomes the ruler of your heart. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How are you feeling now? Isn't it so much easier to handle all these things? Because Jesus is preeminent in your life. To seek God means in every aspect of our life, Jesus is supreme. Nothing takes the place of Jesus. No hurt, no pain, no unforgiveness, no loss, no betrayal, nothing. But Jesus is supreme above all else. Thank you so much for illustrating that for us. God bless you. Don't play with my mess. No, it's okay. Thank you for sorting it out. Whatever you hold on to is what will rule you. Your life is ruled by what you are not willing to let go of. Marriages would be so much different if each of us could just let go of the disappointments sometimes that we have in our relationships. If kids could learn the secret of just letting go, of understanding that life is about eternity. If you and I could live our lives with that this perspective. I mean, okay, I didn't do what I should have done. But you know what? I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to choose to love you because, hey, it's only another 70, 80 years with you. After that, it's eternity. And we can live it through this. Where do you primarily spend your energies? Is all your time and money spent on goods and activities that will certainly perish or in the service of God, the results which we'll live for in eternity? Believers who have learned to truly put God first understand this holy dynamic. And all these things, the Bible says, when you do this, will be given to you. The last thing I want to talk about is that the kingdom of God is about the presence of Jesus in your life. I want to invite the worship team to come up. The kingdom of God is about the presence of Jesus in your life. When you allow the rule of God, the authority of God to function in your life, His presence is there with you. And when I talk about the presence, it's just not a sensing and a feeling, but it's the reality of everything of Jesus with you every moment of every living day. Amen. The Bible says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. Are you ready to allow God to establish His kingdom in your life? Are you prepared to say, God, I want Your kingdom to come into my life, into my home, in every aspect of my life? Are you prepared to do that? There were three things that Jesus did to establish the kingdom of God when He was here on earth. One, His life was completely submitted to the will of the Father. Number two, He was prepared to sacrifice His life, and He did. And number three, that led to the ultimate act of surrender. He gave up everything for you and me. And if you want to see God's kingdom, if you truly want to seek after Jesus and His righteousness in your life, so that all the things that the people who don't know Jesus live life for and eventually just go to the grave without even enjoying them. Why? Because you have an eternal perspective. Why? Because you are not just living for today and tomorrow, you are living for eternity. Amen. Because what you do in these 70, 80 years has an impact on your reward in heaven. Did you know that? How I spend my time, what I do with my money, how I use my gifts and my talents, what my priorities are in my life. Heaven makes a record of this. He makes a record of this. And when you get to the gates of heaven, you want to be recognized by Jesus. Come in, my good and faithful servant. Come in and inherit this kingdom that I have for you in eternity. Amen. I want us to just understand to live life with excitement, to live life with purpose and hope, and not to focus on the unnecessary temporal things, because when you focus in on Jesus, when He is supreme in your thoughts and in your attitude, and you are seeking after Him, all of heaven gets behind you to give you everything that you need. I don't know what the need is in your life this morning. Understand that man cannot meet your needs, only Jesus can. Understand whatever breakthrough you need in your life, man is not the person that you look to, but you need to look to Jesus. Amen. I want us to bow our heads right now. And I want us to be prepared to think about what Jesus did. He submitted to God. He sacrificed His life and lived a life completely surrendered to the will and the purpose of God. Are you prepared to live your life like that? Because if you do, what Jesus will do in and through you is unimaginable. The story of your marriage will be different. The story of your life will be different. The story of your children will be different. Because you will rewrite your destiny when you make Jesus number one in your life. I know God has been speaking to many of you this morning. Don't say tomorrow. The kingdom of God is here today. Receive the kingdom of God by faith. Let's just bow our heads. The worship team, you're gonna...